But I was so thankful for the church to allow me to do an all-church Sabbath school class. We typically don't do it this way. But I want to talk about the Sabbath this morning, not so much in proving which day is a Sabbath, because I think we've already pretty much nailed that coffin shut, but how do we really enjoy, how do you keep the Sabbath day holy? You know, the Bible gives us all kinds of principles, not just in the stories and prophecies, but examples of really how to enjoy this day that God has given us. When I was a brand new Christian, I attended an Amazing Facts seminar similar to this, and I accepted the Bible truth regarding the Sabbath. Now, at first, I did not accept it. I had all kinds of arguments as to why it doesn't matter. But eventually, as I worked through those arguments and I came to the knowledge that this is what God wants in my life, I thought, well, how do I enjoy this day? You know, I don't want to be the kind of person who, you know, all day Saturday is looking at the clock and I think, I can't wait till the sun sets. I can't wait till the sun sets. And at first, I kind of had that experience. I can't wait till the sun sets because then I can finally, you know, get on with my life. And, you know, at first, that's how some folks might see the Sabbath. But you'll discover in our lesson this morning that that's not God's intent when it comes to the Sabbath day. The Bible says He blessed it. So there's a blessing in store for those who keep it. But before we push on any further, would you please bow your heads with me? Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank You for this morning, for Your Sabbath day. We believe it's a day not only can we draw close to Your Son Jesus, but it's a day that Jesus, in fact, draws close to us. And Lord, I pray that You would guide and lead us through our Bible study this morning. And for this we ask and pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, inside of your church bulletin, you should have a sheet of paper, and it says, Joyful Sabbaths, what the Bible says about keeping the Sabbath holy. You should have a sheet like this inside your bulletin. And this, of course, these are the notes. And I'm giving you my study notes this morning, so you can go home and review it, and it'll help save you time as far as taking notes goes. But you're welcome to write notes inside the margin as we go through and discuss this theme. Also, when you leave this morning, we should have some of these magazines here. I believe the, are they here this morning? Maybe Rachel would know. Do we have these here this morning? Okay, they're in the back at the registration desk. Okay, they're at the registration desk. They're called Hidden Truth Magazine. And this magazine goes through some of the deeper themes of prophecy, some of the things we've had a chance to study so far in the seminar. Now, if you already own this magazine and you would like one, I would ask you to please wait until those who don't have one can get one. And then you're welcome to go ahead and grab one. And if you're married, husband and wife, and you're here together, perhaps you guys could just share one. I believe we have 100 copies. Now, there's not 100 people here so far. But this, you know, by the time we get to church service, there could be 200 to 300 people in here. And I want to assure those who want one, get one of these. So just, you know, understand that I want to make sure each person gets one. Now, if you have your Bible, go with me to Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. Now, I'm going to be asking some of you to also read a Bible passage. And my friend Kiyoki here is going to be roaming around with a microphone, and we are recording this, and they're going to record it for our friends who missed this morning. Maybe they're still sleeping in, I don't know, but we want to make sure they also can get a copy, and so we're going to have a roaming microphone, and so if you feel comfortable reading, maybe just look down the sheet and find a passage that you would like to read, and go ahead and turn there right now, maybe doggy ear it or put a marker there. That way, if you raise your hand and say, I'd like to read, I don't know, Luke 4:16, if Kilkey comes to you with a microphone, all you have to do is open the Bible and it's right there. Does that make sense? That'll help expedite and save us time. And if you get nervous and don't want your voice recorded for other people to hear, then you may not want to raise your hand. And when I was going through the AFCO program a number of years ago, I was attending Central Church a Sabbath morning, and Pastor Doug was asking for volunteers to read, and I chose the verse that was the easiest passage to read. But as soon as the mic was handed to me, now we don't have cameras here this morning, the camera guy came over and got right like this in front of me. And oh, I got so nervous, I couldn't even say the word the. I was so nervous, I was trying to get the words out of my mouth, and I just butchered the passage. And I was so embarrassed because I thought, oh man, this is going to be on TV and people. And sure enough, people called me up and said, someone needs to go back and learn how to read. And if you get nervous, you know, that's fine, but at least you're not on TV this morning. But Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." The Bible tells us that the Sabbath was made for man. It was not made for Jews alone. Instead, it was made for man. That word man simply means mankind. So ladies, you are not exempt from keeping and enjoying God's blessing. The Sabbath was made for everybody. And God blessed it when He made it. You know, there's a story in the Bible. This is not in your notes, but maybe you could go there with me. Go back to Exodus chapter 5. There's a story in the Bible. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were in bondage for a number of years, roughly just a little over 400 years. While they were in bondage, they began to forget about the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They forget about the covenant, the promise that God had made with them. One of the things they also forgot while they were in Egypt is they forgot to remember the Sabbath day. That, of course, is why God started it when He told the children of Israel to remember it, because He knew they had already forgotten it, and God wanted to make sure they wouldn't forget it again. You know, the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 5 also, or chapter 5 here in just a moment, that before Moses went into Pharaoh, you know the story, Moses goes in before Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." You've heard that story? Maybe you've watched Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments. Goes in and says, "Let my people go." Well, before Moses met with Pharaoh, the Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 4 that he met with the elders in the nation of Israel. Go there with me to Exodus chapter 4, and it says in verse 29, "And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the sign in the sight of the people." And it says in verse 31, "And the people believed." Now, it doesn't go into detail as to what Moses, actually it was Aaron, but Aaron was kind of his translator, what Moses said to the elders in the children, to the children of Israel. What did he say? The Bible really doesn't tell us, but I believe that Moses told the elders of Israel that God was getting ready to do something great, that they were about to be delivered from their bondage, from slavery, delivered from Egypt. Now, in this story, Moses is a type of Christ, because Moses goes before Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And isn't that what Jesus wants to do for us? He wants to free us from sin, right? From slavery to sin. Egypt represents sin in this story, and you'll discover here in a moment that the Pharaoh is a symbol of the devil who does not want to let the people go. Notice in Exodus chapter 5, and it says here in verse 5. Now remember, Moses said, "Let my people go." In verse 5 it says, "And Pharaoh said, Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them," what is that word? "Rest from their burdens." That word rest, how many of you want a concordance already? Did you want a concordance, a few people? Okay, the people who want concordances aren't here. Oh, you want one. Oh, but you have one. What's that? Oh, you want one. You haven't had a baby shower yet, have you? I know that's not a typical baby shower gift, but it would certainly serve a purpose. That word rest, there in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 5, the Hebrew word there is Shabbat, which simply means Sabbath. What Pharaoh says to Moses is, "You are making the people keep the Sabbath." And the Bible says, therefore, he intensified their labor. In fact, it says in verse 6 and 7, well, mainly verse 7, you shall no more give the people straw to make bricks. They had to go and gather their own straw. Pharaoh intensified their labor. You see, one of the things that Moses said to the elders of Israel was God was getting ready to do something great. You have to consecrate, you have to surrender yourself to God, and one of the things you need to start keeping before you're delivered is you need to start keeping the Sabbath. And when Pharaoh heard wind of this, he was angry, and the Bible says he increased their workload. Now, this is a type of what is taking place today. This is what's happening today. In this story, Moses represents Christ, wants to let the people go, deliver them from slavery, from Egypt, from sin. The Pharaoh does not want that to happen. You know, if the children of Israel begin to keep the Sabbath, they would begin to remember about the promises God had given them. If they kept the Sabbath, they would begin to remember that they were about to be delivered. And eventually, they would get to go and inherit the promised land. And Pharaoh did not want them to think about their soon deliverance. And this is what takes place today. When we come together and keep God's Sabbath, we are remembering our Creator. Amen? We are remembering Jesus. And in church, we talk about the soon return, the soon coming of Christ. And that makes Satan angry. You see, the devil does not want us to keep the Sabbath even today, no more than Pharaoh wanted the Israelites to keep it thousands of years ago. Because when we keep the Sabbath, we remember God, we rest on the Sabbath, and we, like the children of Israel, begin to remember that we too are going to be delivered from this planet. Someday Jesus is going to come back, and like the children of Israel, we too are going to go to the promised land. Does that make sense? And so the devil does not want us to remember the Sabbath day. And of course, the children of Israel had forgotten, and that's why Moses starts it with the word remember. Let's go there to Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, the Bible begins to give us some principles on how we can remember this day. In Exodus chapter 20, and we'll start here in verse 8, the Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. That's like the person visiting your house. Don't make them do any work on the Sabbath. Verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Did you notice verse 11? It says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Hold your finger there in Exodus 20 and go with me to Revelation chapter 14. In Revelation chapter 14, and notice verse 7. Now, Revelation 14, just how the message Moses had for the children of Israel was important for his day, the message of Revelation chapter 14 is important for our day today. And in Revelation 14, verse 7, the first angel's message is, and I'm going to jump down to about halfway through the verse. It says, for the hour of his judgment is come. Now notice this. And worship him that, what's that word? Made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Revelation 14, 7 is calling people back to worship him that made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. When you compare that with Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, it says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. John in Revelation 14, 7 is almost quoting Moses word for word from the fourth commandment. Does that make sense? Yes or no? In other words, one of the last messages, remember what Moses said? Let my people go. And Pharaoh said, you make them rest from their burdens, rest from their labors. John's message, like Moses in the last days, is calling people back to remember the one who made. Well, who is our maker? Well, we discovered in the Amazing Facts seminar that our maker is none other than Jesus Christ. And he, of course, is the one who met Moses at Mount Sinai. Remember what Moses said? Who should I say sent me? And the voice from the mountain said, I am that I am, right? And remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? He said, before Abraham was, I am. I mean, Jesus was claiming to be the I am. That's why the religious leaders hated him so much. Because that phrase, I am, they knew that went all the way back to the mountain experience that Moses had. You see, Jesus was there at the mountain when the Ten Commandments were given. Jesus was the one who spoke this world into existence. And the devil realizes that, and that's why Satan hates God's Sabbath day. Now, we've discovered so far when the Sabbath day begins and when it ends. And you can read, there's a couple of passages here. We won't read them for time's sake. But Leviticus 23:32 says, from even unto even shall you celebrate your Sabbath. Now, Leviticus 23 goes through many of the yearly annual Sabbath days. And, of course, those annual Sabbaths fell on different days throughout the year, kind of like your birthday. And those also were celebrated from sundown to sundown. But Paul tells us in Colossians 2 that those annual Sabbath days were nailed to the cross. But the weekly Sabbath, which was written in stone, can you nail stone to anything? It's kind of difficult, isn't it, to nail stone to a cross? But just like the yearly annual, the weekly Sabbath was also from sundown to sundown. In Mark 1:32, it expands that Sabbath began when the sun set. And so what my wife and I do, and of course, different times throughout the year, the sun sets at different times. You know, what is the shortest day of the year? It's like December 21st or 22nd. Up in Washington, when I lived for a number of years, the sun would set like at 4:15 on Friday. That's early. That's real early. But in June, July, I mean, the sun doesn't set until like, I don't know, 9:20, 9:30. Imagine going to Alaska. That's the only state I've never been to is Alaska. My daughter's been to Alaska, and she's only a year and a half, not even a year and a half old. And she's been up to Alaska already. Well, she was in my wife's stomach, but that still counts, right? She was there. I mean, we count it when we land in an airplane, but don't get off the airplane in a state and then fly somewhere else. We say, I've been to that state, right? Even though we were in the belly of the airplane. She was in the belly of mommy, so she's been there. And in the summertime, you know, the sun might not set until like 11:30, 11:45, which means the Sabbath in Alaska in the summertime would go, you know, in the summertime from like 11:45 Friday night to like 11:45 Saturday night. And so wherever you are on the planet, the sun sets at different times, and of course the time changes. The beautiful thing is if you look in your bulletin, at least I think it's in there, most bulletins have it. Most churches that are Sabbath-keeping churches have it in their bulletin where it says when the sun sets. And so I think sunset tonight, does it actually say it in the bulletin? Oh, it's on the cover. What time does it say? 8:06. So tonight at 8:06, you know, we would call it Saturday night, but at 8:06, according to God's timing, what day does it become? It becomes Sunday, the first day of the week. So Sabbath was from 8:06 Friday night, approximately, to 8:06 on Saturday night. Now, that doesn't mean you sit at home and just stare at the clock and watch until it hits 8:06. And as soon as that second hand hits the, you know, hits the 12, you say, it's over, I can get on with my life. Not at all, friends. It's not like that. I mean, keeping the Sabbath is about having a relationship with God. You know, the Bible says that we put on Christ in Galatians. We are married to Christ. It's an anniversary with Jesus every single week. And the beautiful thing about the Sabbath is you don't have to go on some pilgrimage to like Mecca. You don't have to go to some monument, you know, on some part of the globe, some distant end of planet Earth. Instead, every week, the Sabbath comes to us. Isn't that beautiful? No matter where you are, even John on the island of Patmos, he says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You know, even the Apostle John had it worked out with the Romans that he did not have to work on the Sabbath. Tradition tells us that they tried to kill him by dipping the Apostle John into some type of vat of boiling oil. In the Bible, it's not in the Bible, but Jewish tradition tells us, many historians agree with this, that he simply walked into the oil as you were walking into a warm bath. And it scared the Romans so much that they said, this guy has some kind of special relationship with God, and they banished him to the island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. And they allowed him every seventh day to keep the Sabbath. So even though he was in prison on this island, the Sabbath still came to him every single week. Isn't that beautiful? That's why he says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So the Sabbath comes to us every week, and you just want to look. Now, sometimes you might be in a place where you don't, you know, necessarily know the exact moment the Sabbath begins. It's very easy. God, you know, we just have to look outside the window and we see the sun setting. God made it very simple. You see, 2,000 years ago, or 4,000, even 100 years ago, 200 years ago, they didn't have watches and mechanisms to keep the time like we have today. You know, back then, you know, Moses couldn't look at his Timex and say, well, it looks like it's about sundown, it's Sabbath. The way they kept days was from sunset to sunset. It made it much easier for them to know when a new day began because they didn't know when midnight was. I mean, they didn't have, you know, sundials don't work at night. I don't think they had anything like a moon dial, you know what I mean? And so whenever the sun set, a new day began. And so it's very easy for us. Of course, we'll be in the seminar here tonight. But during the seminar, just look out the window at around 8:06 and you'll see it's getting darker and you'll know that the Sabbath is over. And you know, I mentioned it's like a relationship. It's like an anniversary. How many of you ladies would appreciate it if your husband, on your wedding anniversary, said, it's sundown, it's midnight. I guess our anniversary's over with, honey. I can go now watch the Laker game. Watch them win, right? I can do that now because our anniversary's over, right? I mean, how many of you ladies would like a husband to do that to you? What about you guys? What if your wives did that? Said, well, our anniversary's over. I guess we don't need to spend time together anymore. And they were looking at the clock. They couldn't wait until it hit, you know, sundown or midnight or whenever you keep a day. And they said, our anniversary's over. I guess I can go on with my life now, dear. I mean, that's not a real relationship, is it? And so we don't want to have that type of walk with the Lord. Because those who look at the clock and say, I can't wait until it sunsets and I can get on with my life, that's legalism, friends. That's not entering into a sacred relationship with Jesus. That begins to tend towards legalism, and you want to stay away from that. Now, notice what it says. In the commandment, it says, keep it holy. Well, how do you keep it holy? Now, first of all, can you make something holy that God hasn't already made holy? No, we can't make anything holy. Only God can make things holy. Only God can sanctify things and set them aside. And so the Sabbath is a day for holy activities. It's a day to enjoy spending time with Jesus. Well, notice what Jesus does. Go with me to Luke 4:16. Who would like to read Luke chapter 4 and verse 16? I need a volunteer. Right over here. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Notice what Jesus did on the Sabbath. Would you read it in the microphone real loud so we can all hear? Luke 4:16. Is the microphone on or how can we turn it on? All right, you'll come over. That's fine. I'll keep going while Brian makes his way over. So Luke 4:16, it says that Jesus had a custom. If it was Sabbath and you wanted to find Jesus, could you find him in his carpenter shop, yes or no? He wouldn't be there, friends. If you wanted to find Jesus, where did you have to go looking? The synagogue. Because Jesus was in church on the Sabbath day. And of course, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 2 that the Apostle Paul, it says, as his manner was. Jesus had a custom. Paul, the Bible says, had a manner. And they would be in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Because in the synagogue, that's when holy things take place. They were in there worshiping God, worshiping their Creator. Now, who would like to read Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25? Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Winston, would you read? Winston's right down here, right next to, between the two Michaels.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
Now, what day's approaching? What do you suppose he's talking about there? Perhaps the coming of the Lord? Paul tells us, and many believe that Paul, in fact, was the author of the book of Hebrews, and I'm inclined to agree, to not forsake the assembly of the brethren. meaning we have to come together for corporate worship. Jesus did it. Paul did it. You cannot, you know, you've heard that expression, no man's an island. There's no such thing as a Rambo Christian, you know what I mean? Someone who can just like take on the enemy. And there's some folks that say, I don't want to belong to any organized religion, right? Well, what's the opposite of organized religion? Disorganized, right? I mean, somehow people think that being organized is somehow unholy. God is extremely organized. Did you know that? There are principles all through the Bible to be organized. Church should be organized. I had someone come to a seminar once and say, why do you guys have a church bulletin? Why don't you just worship God as freely as things come up? Well, can you imagine having 300 people and not having any outline for the type of worship service? I mean, you can't get five people to agree, you know, which restaurant in Granite Bay has the best food, let alone 300 people to agree on some type of, you know, order of service unless it's already pre-planned. Even the Bible itself is so organized with chapters and verses and books and, I mean, God's a God of order, amen? So do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. Sabbath is a great time to bring young people to church, to introduce young people to Jesus Christ. You know, as I've traveled around and done these types of seminars, often I have a parent will come to me, and they'll just tears in their eyes. And they'll say, Pastor Tyler, can you please talk to my son? Please talk to my daughter. I mean, they just don't want anything to do with church. And can you please talk with them? And I say, I can talk with them, but please understand, you know, I can't accomplish in 15 minutes what the Lord has given you 15 years to accomplish. You know what I mean? But I'll talk with them. And so the Sabbath is a great time to bring the family to church. Mom and dad, to sit there with the young kids. And, you know, if they're young enough, sometimes you got to bring them some type of activities to keep them busy. Because, you know, if like my daughter's 16 months old, almost 17, she's not going to be hanging on every word that Papa preaches this morning. She's going to be distracted. She's going to see the lady in front of her. She's going to see her hair and want to play with her hair. You know what I mean? She's going to see a book or something. And so you got to bring activities sometimes for the young kids in church, maybe a coloring book. But whatever activities you bring for kids in church, you want to make sure it's Sabbath friendly. It's something that draws them to Jesus. I've often seen parents, and they're sitting there with their kid in church, and the kid's playing a Game Boy in church. And I say, in 10 years, that parent's going to be coming to me saying, can you please talk to my son? Can you please talk to my daughter? Does that make sense? Unless they're playing a Bible video game, but even then, I don't even know how kosher that would be. You know what I mean? That's almost like an oxymoron. Bible video game. And so if you bring activities for the kids, bring things that deal with Jesus, a coloring book about Jesus, a coloring book about nature, something that even though they may not be able to totally comprehend everything that's spoken, I promise you, young people understand more than we give them credit for. And want to get them into the habit when they're young, sitting in church. Get them in the habit of going to church. Doesn't the Bible teach a principle about if you raise a child a certain way, he won't depart from the faith? Now, I was raised in church, and I departed from the faith. But because that foundation was laid in my life, when something took place and I needed a sure footing to fall back on, where do you suppose I turned to? I turned to God. And my wife did the very same thing. And so that's why bringing young people to church, not just church, but bringing them to Sabbath school. And I'm going to talk to the husbands real quick. It's very important for us men as priests of our family to ensure that we are in church every Sabbath day. Now, obviously, if you wake up and you're, you know, puking and you're sick, and you got a, you know, 102-degree fever and you're just, you know, you just, you know what I'm talking about, right? Obviously, that's a little bit different. But if you're able to come to church, Paul says, do not forsake the assembly of the brethren. Because if you miss church 1 week, you know, you may not get a phone call that first week. You know what happens often in church, especially the seminars, the weeks and nights begin to blend together, and I begin to forget that was Mike here last night? Or I shook his hand, but what about the other night before? Was he here? Because the nights begin to kind of blend together, you know what I mean? And so you may not receive a phone call the next day that you were missed necessarily. Then a week goes by and 2 weeks and 3 weeks and you continue to miss church and you're missing out on that blessing and spiritually you begin to die inside. That's why coming to church Sabbath morning is so important. Jesus was perfect, friends, but he still went to church every Sabbath. Amen? because he needed that connection with his heavenly Father. Now, some folks have jobs that require them to work on Sabbath, and we'll talk about it. In fact, I'll just talk about it right now. You know, the Bible says it's better to do good than evil on the Sabbath. So obviously, there are certain activities that have to take place on the Sabbath. For example, hospitals. Do they need to remain open on the Sabbath? Absolutely. I mean, what if a baby was born on the Sabbath? You know, I was born on the Sabbath. How many of you have ever gone back to see what day of the week you were born on? Am I the only one here who's ever done that? Did you do that too? We think alike, you and I. And which, I don't know if that's a compliment for you or not, because I'm an interesting guy, as you can tell. But I was born on the Sabbath. It's kind of ironic. I was born in a Catholic hospital, and I was married in a Catholic church, and I just think that's kind of ironic, especially with some of the sermons I've been preaching, you know what I mean? But I was born on a Saturday. Now, I'm thankful that the Catholic hospital I was open or was open on a Saturday. But you know, hospitals have to remain open. What about fire department? Do firefighters need to be on call on Saturday, yes or no? Sure they do, because what if your house catches on fire? Imagine the firefighter standing there saying, well, we still got 2 more hours to go before sundown, so let's pray it rains, right? I mean, would that be good? Now, obviously, there's certain things you want to do. If I was driving to work or driving to church, say, Sabbath morning, in fact, I passed a couple of you on the freeway this morning. You probably saw me. If you blinked, you probably missed me because I was trying to get here on time. And but let's say as I drove past you, let's say that you were pulled over with a flat tire. And let's say I were to pull over and help you change your tire. Would that be considered work, yes or no? No, that'd be helping somebody out. But let's say my buddy calls me up Saturday afternoon and says, hey, man, I'm about to rebuild my transmission in my hot rod this afternoon. You want to come over to my garage and help me rebuild my transmission? Is that different than helping someone change a tire, yes or no? You see, the tire has to be changed because that guy's got to get to church. You got to help somebody out. But does the transmission, does it have to be rebuilt on Saturday? The answer is probably no. I would say thank you so much for inviting me, even though I don't know anything about how to rebuild a transmission. I'll probably get in the way more than anything, but I'd love to come over on Sunday and help you out on Sunday or a different day of the week. So there's a difference there that you can see. In fact, they would often accuse Jesus, the religious leaders would often accuse Jesus of breaking the Sabbath because he would heal people on the Sabbath. And they said he was a Sabbath breaker because he'd walk through, you know, a field and pick a couple of the grains of or some type of food and he would eat it on the Sabbath. And they say, oh, look, he's harvesting on the Sabbath. He's working. Come on. I mean, that's like, you know, walking out of my backyard and picking, I have a fig tree, which I really don't like figs. I just happen to have a fig tree. Where's Natalia? You're going to be coming over here soon to pick all my figs. She picked them all last year. Clean the tree out, which is okay with me. Then I don't have to mow them over when I mow the lawn. And so what if I were to go out there and pick a fig and eat a fig on the Sabbath? I mean, am I really harvesting, yes or no? No. But what if I had like a family business of fig plants and I got on my fig tractor and begin to drive through my fig plantation and begin to harvest? Would that be different, yes or no? And so you want to look at some of these principles and ask yourself, is this right? Is this not right? Now, there are a lot of black and whites in the Bible, but there's some gray areas as well. And those gray areas that you're not quite sure, that's something you want to pray about and say, God, is this something I should do? Now, typically, if you even have to ask God, is this something I should do? 90% of the time, the answer is probably no. You know what I mean? Just the fact you're questioning it tells me it's probably no. But you got to, you know, pray about these things and find out, is this something I should be doing? But even those jobs that require folks to work on the Sabbath, like a nurse or doctor or fireman or other things like that, you know, what if they have to work every single Saturday? And then they're not in church. They're not in church with their wife or their husband. They're not in church with the kids. That's important. Amen. And what they're doing is they are forsaking the assembly of the brethren. So even if you have this, you know, humanitarian type of work, you can still ask your employer, you know, I like working here. I like being whatever I do. But is there a way we could adjust my schedule because I really want to be able to go to church with my family Sabbath morning? Perhaps your employer can set it up where, you know, every other weekend you have to work on Saturday, but, you know, the other weekends you can be in church with your family. But what if you work at, like, Taco Bell on Sabbath? I mean, are you making humanitarian burritos? Do people have to go to Taco Bell on Saturday? The answer is probably no. In fact, it is no. They can prepare ahead of time. You know, that's what the Bible teaches too in Exodus chapter 16. You can go there if you'd like to. In Exodus chapter 16, it's the story of when God rained manna down from heaven. And he'd rain the manna down 6 days a week, but on the seventh day, he would not rain any manna. In fact, they were told to go out a day in advance, and they would collect twice as much manna. Now, any other day, the manna would spoil the second day. But on the sixth day, or Friday, they would collect twice as much manna because there would not be any out in the field. In other words, they were to prepare ahead of time for the Sabbath, and they would bake and cook and do things. That way, on Sabbath, you know, they weren't out there collecting and baking. And, you know, keep in mind, you know, people say, but I thought the Bible says you can't make a fire on the Sabbath day. What about turning a burner on the stove? Isn't that making fire? Now, let's be honest. When they were in the wilderness, to make a fire, how did they make a fire? Well, they had to go collect wood. How much wood's out in the desert? You know what I mean? I mean, they had to look for this stuff. It wasn't just like turning a switch on in your house, turning a pilot on, not at all, hitting a button. They had to go look for wood, collect the wood, cut the wood. Then they had to bring it all together, build a fire, get the fire going, then get a pan out. And I mean, what kind of pans did they have back then? You know what I'm talking about? It was labor intensive to build a fire. Their whole day was spent, often the women, their whole day was spent just cooking food because it took hours to prepare a meal. Does that make sense? Where today, what do? This morning I grabbed a couple of Pop-Tarts. They were the healthy kind, by the way. And they were Pop-Tarts, but they weren't the brand Pop-Tarts, but you know what I mean. They were the breakfast pastries. I stuck them in the toaster and I pushed it down. Then I went and started, kept getting ready for church this morning, and I heard him, bing, I heard it pop, and I went in there and grabbed them and started eating them. I mean, it took me like 2 seconds to open a package, stick them in there, and push a button down. I didn't have to collect wood. I didn't have to roll the dough out, you know what I mean, and cut the strawberries and slice them and put them in there and bake them. You know what I'm talking about? It didn't take all that kind of labor. But in Exodus 16, with the manna in experience, it was laborious to prepare a meal. But even today, often my wife and I will invite people over to our house for church for Sabbath lunch. But even then, we try to prepare as much ahead of time as possible. For example, the meal you'll be eating today and the one if you were here last Sabbath, that was prepared most likely yesterday and it was put in the refrigerator. It was some type of loaf or potatoes or something and it's prepared a day in advance. It's put in the refrigerator because we know leftovers taste better, don't they? Have you noticed that? Like leftover lasagna always tastes better. I don't know why that is, but it does. And then they just pull it out of the refrigerator, stick it in the oven, turn it on, and that's it. It's a lot quicker to do that, much less labor intensive than having to prepare, you know, 300 batches of food for somebody's Sabbath morning. But even at my house, if we have folks over, we'll prepare as much as we can ahead of time. That way, Sabbath morning, we can come to church and enjoy fellowship, and my wife's not spending all Sabbath morning in the kitchen, or I'm not spending all Sabbath morning in the kitchen preparing food. You see the difference there? Does that make sense? And so you want to plan in advance and prepare as much in advance as you possibly can. Now let's jump down to Matthew. Well, Revelation 1:10, I mentioned that earlier. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Should we be filled with God's Spirit on the Sabbath, yes or no? Absolutely. In Matthew chapter 12, 9 through 13, Jesus says, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath. In Mark chapter 1, for time's sake, I'm not going to go through it, but if you read Mark 1, 22 to 34, it gives us an example of how Jesus kept a Sabbath day. It describes how he healed folks and went to church on the Sabbath day. Now, let me talk a little bit more about preparing in advance. Even though the Sabbath day comes once a week, don't wait until Friday. You know, Friday was referred to as the preparation day, the sixth day of the week. That's where they would spend the day preparing for the Sabbath. But most of you probably have jobs on Friday. Do you have jobs on Friday? And so you may not get home from work until 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock and, you know, an hour or 2 or 3 hours, depending on what time of year it is. The Sabbath's going to be coming. And you may not have enough time to plan and prepare everything in time for sundown Friday night. So what I do in my household is I begin to plan all week long for the Sabbath. I start doing my laundry like on Wednesday, you know what I mean? On Thursday, we do the grocery shopping. On Monday, we may, you know, do something different. But I don't wait until Friday and get home from work and say, oh, I got to do all this stuff in just 1 hour. There's no way it can get done. I plan all through the week. So when Friday evening comes, my wife and I, we can have family worship together. And, you know, some folks like to maybe light a candle at sundown, maybe sing some songs, watch a Bible video, watch a nature video, do some scripture reading. I love reading stories with my daughter. Now, I have to kind of paraphrase or summarize the stories because her attention span is very short, and she just has more fun turning the pages. But it's so amazing to me, she's 16 months old, but she can distinguish, you know, an artist's rendition of Moses from an artist's rendition of Jesus. It's amazing. She can see Jesus, and she'll go, Jesus, Jesus. That's how she says Jesus. And in her room's a picture of Jesus. And I walk in there and I say, now, princess, who is that? And I got to usually coax her a couple times, but eventually she'll say, Jesus. And so she's beginning to understand even right now who Jesus is. And so we do Bible study every morning. Usually I'm at work, so my wife will do it with her in the morning. But she's beginning to understand some of these principles in the Bible. But here's the mistake I used to make. I used to not plan for the Sabbath. I wouldn't plan at all. And I would get up Saturday morning when my wife and I were new at this, and we'd get up Saturday morning and I would try to get ready for church, and I'd try to get breakfast and, you know, try to get out of the house to be at Sabbath school by 9:30. And you know, that shirt I was going to wear, I thought was clean, it's not clean. Or the shoes I were going to wear, they were a bit scuffed and I couldn't wear them. Or that tie had a stain on it. And what would happen Saturday morning is because I didn't plan in advance, man, I was rushing. I was ironing my shirt real fast and getting my clothes ready and trying to do all this stuff Saturday morning. Oh, yeah, we're having people over, got to prepare food. And I'm, have you ever had a morning like that? And man, I'm just rushing around the house. And then my wife, you didn't get up yet. Get up, dear. We got to get up. We got to go to church. Get up. And she's getting up. We're trying to get in the shower. We're trying to get ready. And then, you know, we're late for church. And then I'm driving like 85 miles an hour on the freeway. Trying to get to church on time. And then, of course, my wife tells me to slow down. And just so you ladies know, there's a lot of guys that don't like their wives telling them how to drive. or their girlfriends telling them how to drive. And I say, don't you tell me how to drive. We're late because of you, because you couldn't get your makeup on, or you couldn't do this, or whatever. We're late because of you. And then, of course, you know, I'm using you statements. And, you know, those are very, those aren't the kind of statements you want to use. You, you. And she's saying, no, but you, you. And these you statements begin to escalate. And we begin to argue on the way to church. We're fighting. We're at each other's throats on the way to church. But as soon as we pull into church and we get out of the car, we put our smiles on, right? We say, happy Sabbath. Oh, happy Sabbath to you. Hey, how are you doing? Happy Sabbath to you. Not realizing, folks don't realize that we are fighting all the way to church. You know what I mean? Now, I know you guys have never had mornings like that. Just my wife and I do that. Because you guys are, you know, more sanctified than us. But the point is this. The reason why that happened was simply we did not plan in advance. You know what I mean? And so even my shirts, I iron my shirts in advance. And I look on Friday, what do I want to wear to church the next day? And I iron my shirts. Yesterday afternoon, I spent time ironing a few shirts because I wanted a shirt for last night, I wanted a shirt for this morning, and I wanted to have a clean shirt for Saturday night. So I got all my shirts ironed, and they're all hung up. And now, this is more my personality, but I'll get my clothes out in advance, but I encourage you to do the same thing. And I hang my suit up, and my shirt is there, and my tie is there, and I'll buff my shoes on Friday, get them nice and clean, and so they're there, and everything's ready. Even my undergarments are laid out, and they're ready. That way, when I get up Sabbath morning, I'm not fumbling around trying to find things that are clean. It's all right there. And I tell you, it just makes Saturday morning so much more enjoyable. I clean the house throughout the week. That way on Sabbath morning or Sabbath afternoon, my house is clean and my clothes are laid out and I can go to church. And I tell you, friends, it is much more enjoyable if you approach it that way. Now, in Isaiah chapter 58, how much time do we have here? 5 minutes. Ooh. We're going to have to do a part two. Isaiah chapter 58. I'll read this for time's sake. In Isaiah chapter 58, notice what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13 and verse 14. It says this. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." The Bible gives us principles about not doing thine own pleasure on thy holy day. Not doing thine own pleasure on God's holy day. Now remember, the Sabbath is like an anniversary with Jesus. If you think of it as an anniversary, this stuff will make sense. And it's not going to come across as being works or legalistic. Think of it as a relationship. Just like a relationship with your wife. What if it was your anniversary, ladies? And instead of spending time with you, your husband said, "I'd much rather watch the football game. Or I'd much rather, you know, read the newspaper." You say, "But dear, it's our anniversary. I mean, or what about even Mother's Day? What if tomorrow your husband said, you know, I know you gave birth to our children, and but, you know, that wasn't that hard." "Instead of spending the day with you, dear, I think I'm going to go out with the guys tomorrow. By the way, happy Mother's Day." And what if they left you at home all day tomorrow and went out with their buddies to do other, you know, activities? How would that make you ladies feel? Now, I was there when my wife had the princess. She had her naturally. Can you imagine that? In a birthing center. No drugs, nothing. 3 hours after my daughter came out, we were driving home, going home. My wife's a tough lady, let me tell you. We showed up an hour later, had the baby. 3 hours later, we were driving home. She's a tough girl. Don't get on her bad side, I know. But the Sabbath is a relationship with Jesus. I mean, how do you think it makes Jesus feel on the Sabbath when we say, you know, "I thank you for creating me," right? "For giving birth to me in that sense of creating me. But, you know, I'd much rather watch TV than spend the time with you. I'd much rather read this secular newspaper. I'd much rather read, you know, the Wall Street Journal or Time Magazine. I'd much rather go to the movies or go to the mall or go out to eating and do other things on your day. But thank you for creating me." And how do you think that makes God feel? You know what I mean? It's a day to spend with Jesus. It's a day to lay aside as much secular activity as possible. In fact, in the fourth commandment, one of the things it says is, "In it thou shalt not do any work." Now that doesn't mean you just sit around and stare at the wall for 24 hours and not move a muscle. It's talking about work that would draw you away from Jesus. Just like a marriage relationship. Things that would draw you away from that love relationship. So when it comes to the TV, my wife and I just turn the TV off. Now, you know, we might watch a sermon or some type of nature video of sorts, but, you know, I'm not going to watch secular TV because that doesn't draw me to a closer walk with Jesus. You know what I mean? I'm not going to go out and do certain things on the Sabbath because they don't help draw me closer into an intimate walk with Christ. One of the challenges I had when I was a brand new Christian is nobody gave me the study on the Sabbath. And so I would continue after church or sometimes before church, I would go surfing Sabbath morning, before church or after church, depending on how the waves were. But then I began to think in the back of my mind, I thought, well, is this really the right thing to do? Should I really be doing this type of activity? I thought, well, it doesn't cost any money. You know, in the book of Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 13, 15 to 22, Nehemiah got after the children of Israel because they were buying and selling on the Sabbath day. So the principle is not to go out and buy and sell on the Sabbath day. And I thought, well, I'm not buying anything. I've already got my surfboard, the wetsuit. I don't have to pay for parking. I mean, I'm out in nature. I mean, I was a surfer up in Washington State. And, you know, you're out there sometimes all by yourself, probably because the water's so cold. But all by myself, and I'm in nature. I thought, well, you know, what's the big deal? I'm out here enjoying God's creation. You know, it's amazing how you can begin to twist things in your own mind and begin to rationalize and even make excuses for behavior that God, you know, would say don't do. And one day I began to pray about it. And I said, Lord, if you don't want me to go surfing on the Sabbath, then you have to stop me. Be careful what you pray for. Be very careful what you pray for. In those terms, Lord, you have to stop me. Now, I drove a 1973 Volkswagen van. It didn't break down that day, but it probably should have, huh? Broke down every other day. But, you know, that day when I went surfing, where my spot was I would go surfing, there's this hill you have to drive down, and there's a gate at the top of the hill. And I've surfed this spot for probably the last 10, 12 years. The only time that that gate has ever been closed in the last 12 years was that one Sabbath morning, and I could not make it down to the beach. And I thought, well, God, that was my answer. I mean, it was too far to walk. You'd have to walk a couple of miles downhill, and I didn't want to do that. And I said, well, that was my answer. You know, often things might seem a bit gray in the Bible, but if you pray about it and say, God, is this what you would have me to do? I promise you, God will show you what he wants you to do. In Nehemiah chapter 13, it talks about don't buy and don't sell. Isaiah 58 talks about don't do thine own pleasure. Instead, we want to do things that bring glory to God, that connect us with Jesus. You know, Nehemiah says don't go buy and sell. My wife and I have made a decision to not go out to eat on the Sabbath, on Friday night or Saturday, because what we're doing if we go out to eat is we're buying and selling. We are making somebody else work for us on that day. So when it comes to going out to eat, we just don't do it. Now, when the sun sets Saturday night, we'll often go out to eat after sundown with friends and family. That's different. But on the Sabbath, we don't go out and eat on that day because it violates the principles in the Bible. You know, sometimes people, though, might have an issue come up in their life. Like, let's say, for example, my daughter got sick on Sabbath and she needed some, you know, she woke up Saturday morning, a fever, and she needed some type of medicine to reduce her fever. Now, that's something you just can't plan for, you know what I mean? And so Saturday morning, what I say, well, honey, I know my daughter's suffering from this fever, but it's Sabbath, so I'm going to let her suffer for the next X number of hours, and then after sundown, I'll go to the store and get her medication. Would that be doing the right thing, yes or no? Not at all. I would go to the store. I would hate to do it on Sabbath, but I would go to the store to buy my daughter some type of medicine to help her with whatever condition she had. Does that make sense? Every now and then, there might be some type of an emergency that comes up. Now, if I'm sitting at home on Saturday and realize I'm out of Doritos, say, oh, my stomach, this is an emergency, it needs Doritos. I mean, am I going to go and get Doritos? You know what I'm talking about? And so, you know, what are the principles? And that's what we want to look at in the Bible. What brings glory to God? You know, people say, yeah, but, you know, Jesus said if your cow falls into the ditch on the Sabbath, you got to dig it out, right? The problem is, it seems every Sabbath, some folks always have a cow falling into a ditch. You know what I'm talking about? They've always got some emergency in their life that they got to take care of on the Sabbath. I say this, friends. Number one, either fill in that ditch or sell the cow to the butcher, right? Get rid of the cow. But every now and then, something comes up on the Sabbath, and you might have to do things that, you know. You know, what if I got a call right now and it said that my dad just had a heart attack or something like that. He's down in Southern California, and he's got, you know, X number of hours to live, or, you know, just some crazy emergency, oh, I would jump on the next airplane. I would jump in my car and get down there as fast as I can. Does that make sense? Because I think God would want me to be with my family during that time. But even with the Sabbath, we talk about preparation day. You know what I did yesterday? I filled my gas tank up yesterday. I topped it off completely. Just in case something happened, I could go 350 miles in any direction in my Honda Civic. Just in case something happened. I hate the feeling of being on empty driving to church Sabbath morning. Not quite sure if I'm going to actually make it home. And of course, let's jump down a little bit further here. It says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 13, it says that the early church met by a riverside Sabbath morning. In other words, they were out in nature on the Sabbath, spending time in nature. Is an ideal thing to do on the Sabbath. And friends, we are blessed to live up here in the foothills. Amen. There are beautiful hiking trails. There's a place right up the road. It's called Weimar. It's an institute. You're welcome to go there. There are all kinds of hiking trails there on the Weimar campus. And it's a safe place to hike. And it's easy hiking. You're not going to need, you know, rock climbing gear. And it's a beautiful place to hike. But you can go down by the Russian River and get out in nature on the Sabbath. Get some friends together and spend time corporately fellowshipping on the Sabbath day. And don't just go hiking and talk about all the secular activities taking place. Instead, when you go hiking on the Sabbath, talk about how good God is, right? And look for things in nature. Look for object lessons that teach you about God's care and God's provision and how much God loves us. Amen? That's what it means to enjoy the Sabbath, to spend time with God, to lay aside as much unneeded secular activity as possible and to connect with our Creator. In Matthew chapter 11, it says, "Let the Sabbath be a day of to find rest in the Lord." When's the last time you took a nap? Have you ever had an afternoon where you can just lay around the house? You know, I was doing the Bible study one time, and somebody raised their hand, and they said, "Tyler, you're teaching works. The Sabbath, you're teaching salvation by works." That's what somebody told me one time. I said, "I'm not teaching works. I'm telling people to rest. Amen? You're telling people to work because you're telling them to not keep the Sabbath day holy. But the Sabbath is a day you can also rest, not just spiritually, but it's a day to rest physically too." Now, I don't suggest you sleep every Sabbath because then you're going to miss the blessing. But every now and then, if I've had a long week, it's nice to just lay down for a couple of hours and take a nap. And finally, our last passage as I wrap it up here is Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12 and verse 20. It says the Sabbath is a sign of two things. Number one, that God can sanctify us, that God can make us holy. And number two, it reminds us that He's the Creator. You know, God gave us the Sabbath. It's a blessing. It's a day to enjoy. If you've had a hard time in the past, or maybe even right now you're having a hard time, I would encourage you to pray about it and say, "God, help me to really enjoy this day. Help me to not stare at the clock, but help me to really take advantage of the blessing that you want me to experience." How many of you are willing to do that, to ask God to give you the blessing in that day? Let's have a prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for your Sabbath day, Lord. I wish I could spend another hour just talking about this. But Father, anything that I missed, I pray your Holy Spirit would lay upon our hearts, upon our minds. If there are some here struggling with what they should do, Lord, I pray they would take these notes and review them. But I pray that your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word would guide and lead each one of us into all truth. I pray, Lord, that we would take advantage of your day, as it's a day that we're blessed on. It's a day that you rested. It's a day that we can draw into an intimate, a close relationship with your Son, Jesus. And for this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.